for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday morning service on July the 8th, 1994, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker for the morning.
Brother Jack, with us this couple of days. He, as you heard last night, he was taken up the first of the week with the 4th of July weekend, and then before that with the D-Day ceremonies. But he always goes somewhere and to some of the ceremonies on the holidays, Memorial and 4th of July and all, where he goes and participates in some of the ceremonies of the nation in remembrance of the past wars and triumphs of the past. We hope there'll never be another, but if it is, we hope that we'll triumph in it and not be let it slide off like we have some of the others. But anyway, Jack's going to come and minister the word of the Lord to us this morning. Brother Jack Harris.
It's a good day the Lord has made. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Glad that we're here. I'm glad you're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wonder of wonders. Certainly have enjoyed my brief stay. All the good ministry and all the good fellowship and all these good things. I love. Been doing it a long time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if the Lord continues, we used to use the old term, if the Lord tarries, well, okay, it's all right with me. Well, we'll continue to do it until. Hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? I'd like to take us into the first chapter of Ezekiel and begin our study here this morning. I share this study with you. Praise the Lord. I'll call this progressive ministry. Progressive ministry. And the story begins and centers around the captives, Israel in captivity. And Ezekiel springs forth here as a prophet and a priest. And through the process of time, he will become, other ministries will be added to him as he grows in the Lord and obeys the Lord and fulfills one commission so he can receive another. Hallelujah. And that's kind of what it's all about. If we are faithful in a few things, he'll make us victors over a lot of things. Hallelujah. He's looking for faithful servants, isn't he? Let us read here a few verses and we'll just begin. Let me get my glasses all cleaned up here from being in my shirt pocket. I can read without them, but I can read easier with them. I have to get too far away. Praise the Lord. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, in the fifth day of the month. I didn't tell you where I am in Ezekiel chapter 1. As I was among the captives by the river of Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces. Everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkle like the color of burnished brass. They had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went out, or they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, face of a lion, and on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. That's as far as I want to read at this point. Now, I'll make some comments here. Just let me tell you this briefly, what has transpired here. The first key comes in the first verse when Ezekiel is giving his identity and his location, and he says, "I was among the captives by the river of Kebar." You can underline, "I was among the captives at the river of Kebar." Now, let me turn back over here to the Psalms. And in the 137th Psalm, let's see what kind of people he was among. We read from the first verse of the 137th Psalm, "By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion." A key phrase here is they refer to their captives as those that wasted us. Now, in verse 4, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" And so on, the pitiful story there. And Ezekiel says, "I was among this group." But now the secret is that while they hung their hearts in despair, Ezekiel was having other experiences, wasn't he? The secret is that he was among them, but he had not been molded into the mold of his captors. But they had. They had been intimidated by their captors, and they had lost all hope. And finally, in despair, they hanged their harps in the willows and said, "We won't sing again the Lord's song in this captive land." That's surrender. That's all. That's what that is. That is surrender. Now, but Ezekiel, on the other hand, he is among them, but he doesn't hang his harp. He's not in despair. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's not losing all hope. But what he is doing is he's having visions, and beautiful visions they are. And while he's sitting there, even among them, and they're all wavering in despair, heaven is open to him. The heavens open above him. And he hears the word of the Lord that comes to him. The word of the Lord comes to him expressly. Expressly. That means that God sought him out and directly aimed right straight at him and gave him a rhema. Hallelujah. The word. Oh, the living word. And all right. Now he is among the captives, and he's in the same location that they are. The heavens is open, and he sees visions of God. All right, now, in the very first verse, he would have to be identified as a prophet. But when the Lord's word comes to him, it says that the Lord spake to him expressly to Ezekiel the priest. All right, so that's prophet. Now, he started out as a prophet. Now he's a priest already. He's he's uh, He's careful to... Oh, he's walking barefooted. Hallelujah. Amen. He's walking very careful. And he's very obedient to the Lord, so he's going to rise high in the economy of God. And then he, the word of the Lord comes expressly to him, and there by the river. Now, the last statement in the third verse is, the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Hallelujah. Yeah, no matter where you go or how far down you may get, the hand of the Lord was there. Too bad they couldn't have all seen it. Too bad they couldn't all hear that word and feel the same thing that Ezekiel had. If they had, I'll tell you one thing, they wouldn't have been in captivity long, would they? Hallelujah. Amen. That would have brought a mass deliverance right out of this oppression. You know, I have observed over the years, and I'm glad that you take a couple, man and his wife, and then take a family of, well, as many as you'd like to number, and then you take local congregations that come together and worship the Lord. I'm glad that the Lord don't get us all down at one time. You know, he has so arranged it that hardly just a man and his wife, the one of them will get way down, but the other one's not. And therefore, they can't be defeated. The only way he can claim victory and mold our thinking is if he could get us both down at the same time, he'd really walk on us. And in our local group, if he could get you all down. Everybody gets down once in a while. I mean, there's just no way to stay on cloud nine, hallelujah, all the time. There, oh my, the Lord has many lofty positions that are available to us, but we rarely ascend into the loftiest of them. Hallelujah. Ah, there's places in God that if you ever ascend to them, you never can be the same again. Moses never could forget that cleft that was in the rock, because God said, well, there's a cleft in the rock over here by me. And Moses said, that's where I want to be, is by you. Hallelujah. And Moses never could forget that cleft in the rock, because it was by the Lord. And there are so many plateaus. In my Father's house are many, the King James says, mansions, but it would be better rendered many plateaus, many dwelling places, some of the translations make it. Now I'm going to prepare, I'll go away to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. Well, my first concept of that, of course, was same as your first concept, and it may still be your concept, but it's no longer mine. My first concept was that he was going up into the heavens wherever and build a big mansion with a lot of rooms in it. And then when this life was over, he was going to call me and give me one of those rooms. And, of course, I always wanted one closest to the office. That's where he was. But I no longer embrace that concept. Ascended back on high. Oh, blessed be God forever. When he ascended back on high, he gave gifts unto men.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord. You know what he really did there? He divided himself into five parts, five ministries, and gave himself back to these ministries to... where did he give them? Where did he place them? To the church. He gave them to the church. Five ministries: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And Jesus was all of these. Now consider the high priest of our profession, the apostle, our apostle. Jesus was our apostle. Jesus was a prophet, foretelling all through the book, wasn't he? And he was an evangelist at the well of Samaria. He evangelized Samaria through the woman that was trying to get a drink. And he offered her some special kind of water. It was so special that he promised her, if you drink of this, you won't thirst anymore. And she was kind of sharp that day, so she said, Lord, give me to drink. I want some of that water that you can drink and never thirst again. And then in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he's the great teacher. And in John 10, he's the great shepherd, the pastor. He was all of these things. And he divided himself up and gave himself to the church. And when we come, when we have perfected these ministries, and these ministries has perfected the church, we'll be like him. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, we're in a parts ministry. No matter how lofty your ministry may be, you're still just in the parts realm, and there's so many things that you don't know. But that can be fixed. And God's got a plan to fix it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's got a plan to fix all of that for us. And when we all come together in until we come to perfection and to the statue of Him who gave His life for us, here He'll be again in His fullness. He put the whole thing back together. And it is He. It is the Christ.
Yes.
Oh, blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, say, you know, he has destined us for certain things.
Yes.
I come from an old group, and you better not say predestinated when the old school I came up to. They'd quickly, they'd turn you off fast. If you was reading and it said predestinate, you better do it fast. Hallelujah. For whom he did know, he did also predestinate. To be conformed to His image. And whom He did predestinate, He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified.
Yes.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Or if He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things?
Amen.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Well, that's where he went to when he went away to prepare a place for us. He went to pray the Father. Oh, my. He's making intercession for us now. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he's making intercession for the saints. He went to prepare a place for us to be sons of God. To have a father. Hallelujah. Like he had. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. Philip said, hey, Lord, why don't you just show us a father and get us out of this anxiety, and perhaps that would, that suffices. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you, and you do not know that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, and I and the Father is one? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Ezekiel. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Thank God forever. The Lord says, I am raising up a people even now, yea, that will have a very low tolerance for wickedness, yea, for rebellion, saith the Lord. Yea, I tell you now that I plan to purify you. Yea, if you have fled for refuge underneath my everlasting blood covenant, I plan to set up my government in your spirit, right in your mind, saith the Lord. I plan for you to be navigated by divine order, saith the Lord God. I do not hesitate to proclaim to you that I shall not cease to dispense my life in you until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of your Lord and of your Christ, saith the Lord. Oh, you are a special people because I have called you unto myself, saith the Lord. Yea, and I have dispensed a portion of my life in you, I have poured out an anointing on you, and a fresh anointing cometh, and cometh, and cometh. Yea, and exploits thou hast done, and exploits thou shalt do. Yea, and soon now thou shalt do the works that the blessed Lord did, and then beyond are greater works than your Lord did. For the word has proclaimed it, and I, the Lord, have said it. It shall be so, saith the Lord. If thou should rebel, yea, and not walk into the ministry that I have ordained for you, I'll raise up another generation and bring them unto myself, saith the Lord. Therefore, be diligent, never slack, never unconcerned. Hey, it is a serious thing that you are engaged in, saith the Lord. Yea, it is all so serious. And life is at stake, and not only life as you know it best, but I'm talking about eternal life, saith the Lord. Yea, know that all things that are seen are temporal, and it is filled with corruption. Therefore, saith the Lord, yea, I shall cause thee to see the unseeable. Yea, I shall let thee venture into the foreknowledge of God. And thou shalt know as you are known, saith the Lord. Yea, all of these things await the sons of God. It comes through obedience to me, saith the Lord. Yea, it comes through seeking after the Lord. Nobody carelessly will come into this ministry, for the Lord hath declared it, saith God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, we're moving on. Say, let me share this with you. I gave a few years ago, the Lord gave me a word, a difficult word, a prophecy, and showed me a vision at the same time. I seen the world in utter chaos, and utter destruction was everywhere. I seen tall buildings just crumbling, and nothing behind it was standing. It was total. And I thought, it scared me. I was a little frightened. And I thought, what meaneth this? And then I thought, I'm not sure that the Lord spoke tidal wave to me, but that's what I said. I said, it's a tidal wave. But that may have been my own conclusion. But anyhow, the Lord spoke to me at this point. As clearly as he ever had spoken to me before, he spoke to me, and he said, when you see this thing coming to pass, as you surely will, head immediately for your prayer closet, and I will meet you there. And he said, I'll meet you there, and I will give you immunity over all the things, from all the things that you've seen and did not see. I shall give you immunity over everything that shall befall the earth, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that was some, and then I went on into some more prophecy foretelling. And then the Lord spoke a very strange thing to me. And he said, speak my word as I give it to you. So I said, all right. This was right in the service that I gave this. I got it right in the service. And we had a congregation of people, it was probably twice as many people there, about twice as many, I'd say, at this particular setting. And from this prophecy, I had prophesied a lot of things that, that could happen and wouldn't maybe immediately get noticed. So the Lord said, prophesy and say, all right, I'm going to tell you something that you can see and know. Shortly now, and here's the words, shortly now an airplane will fall out of the sky over in the foreign land here, and it'll have over 300 people on it. And they'll all perish, and nobody will know what happened to the plane, what made it go down, what happened. And this the prophecy continued, and the prophecy said, and this will be the beginning of a series of planes just falling out of the air. And that was about, I don't know how many days it was, but it was a week or two before that plane fell that had, how many did they have on it? Over 300. It had 300 and I forget how many, 59 maybe. And they didn't never know, still to this day, don't know how come it fall. You know, it was way over close to Turkey or somewhere over in there. And you remember the incident, don't you? And after that, there began to, I think about that time, that one fell over in Dallas, Fort Worth, and they said a wind shear brought it down. You know, this one fell at Charlotte, and they say a wind shear brought it down. But anyhow, there was a series of just plane crashes right beyond that, right behind that prophecy. Now, I said that to say this, and the prophecy was before many witnesses that knows that I prophesied this. Now, what the reason I'm telling you this is to say this, that how did I know that an airplane was going to fall in the very near future? I mean, I concluded within a couple of weeks in my own mind, but that was just my own thinking. How did I know that? Nobody in the world knew it. If anybody had known it, any official or anybody that was in charge, had any authority, had known it, they would have tried to divert it, prevent it. Nobody knew it. Nobody didn't know it 15 minutes before it happened. Nobody knew it. My question is, where did I get the information from? And the answer is that God allowed me to tune right into the foreknowledge of God. I know that I'm not worthy of this lofty adventure, but I didn't ask the Lord to do it either. He just did it. He tuned me right into the foreknowledge of God, and for a minute or two there, I knew as He knew. That disturbs me because, for this reason, now that I have been there, I know there is a place like that. And if I could program my life just right, I could not only get a brief visit, but I could walk in it. Oh, yeah, you'll have to think about that a minute. But think as hard as you will, and you'll never think where I got the information from. And that's the only thing that I can accredit it to, because God's the only one in this universe that knew it was going to happen and dared to let this little insignificant prophet put vocal to it. I shall eternally be grateful to the Lord for the many times He has lifted me out of the realm that I walk in into a realm beyond that. Hallelujah. The reason it happened to Ezekiel was that he wouldn't surrender. He was a prisoner, but he didn't surrender. There's a difference in being surrendered and just being a prisoner. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I could tell you some more things that I did that the Lord permitted me to do that were just as fantastic, really, as that. That's probably the most notable one. Let me tell you this. I've seen George Wallace when the guy assassinated him. Now, this one's very good. I said one Sunday morning, I said from the pulpit, I said, there is an assassination attempt against George Wallace. He's going to be shot. And as I spoke it, the Lord played it off to me, just like a unwinding a reel. And so I described it. I said, George Wallace has this is how it will happen. George Wallace has made a speech. He's coming down off the platform to do a little handshaking. And I see a man over there in the crowd, but he's got on it looks like an army field jacket. And he's reaching inside the front of his field jacket. He has a gun in his hand at this point. And he's moving through to position himself right in front of George Wallace. And when he positioned, and then in a moment of time, he positioned himself right in front of George Wallace, turned the gun around, fired 3, 4, 5 shots. Bang, 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 bang. And George Wallace fell to the ground. And I thought, now in my mind, I was standing there witnessing the whole thing. And I thought, well, I ought to get out of here before the commotion starts, you know, and all the crowds get to moving frantically, and it'll be difficult to get out. So I left at that point. And so somebody said, well, was he dead? And I said, well, I don't know. I didn't stay to see if he's dead or not, but he shot him 4 or 5 times point blank right in the stomach That usually kills a person, but I don't know about whether he's dead or not. And that was on Sunday, and I think it was on Wednesday when it happened, the very next Wednesday. And somebody come driving up to the house and run toward the house and said, "Brother Jack, got television on?" I said, "No." I said, "Turn it on. George Wallace has been assassinated." And as I turned it on, when I turned the television on, they were playing it back, and they started right where my story started. I narrated it 3 days, 4 days before it happened. Nobody knew it was going to happen. How did I know that? Foreknowledge of God. I don't have any problem with predestination because I know it's in the foreknowledge of God. It's real, but it's in the foreknowledge of God. It leaves me still in question. As far as I'm concerned, as far as you're concerned, there's still your questions are still there. But God's already answered them to himself. Already solved them. Hallelujah. And now, what I'm doing now is I'm walking out God's eternal plan. Before he shaped the earth, he had a plan that would take care of all generations. And that was just his foreknowledge. And now we're here walking into it. I don't hesitate to tell you that my blessed hope is to walk into life. My first 20 years of ministry, 15 anyhow, I had a blessed hope, and I hoped I'd die and go to heaven. And a blessed hope it was. But then I grasped a greater hope than that. I hoped that I would walk into life. And for the last 25, 30 years, I've been hoping I'd walk into life. And it is a blessed hope. Doesn't do nothing with my final place of rest, if there is a place, you know, whatever. I don't really know all about it, do you? I just know that if I can please God, I can walk into life. It's available right now. Enoch utilized it way a long, long time ago, didn't he? He walked right into life. He had a testimony that he pleased God, and God took him. He walked right into life. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. God, I'm just saying that we're living way beyond our potential. Way beyond our potential. And inasmuch as I have had these experiences that are too lofty for me, it makes me to know that there is a position like that. And if I could really get in God where I'd like to and where God would really want me to, or you either, we could walk in that realm. Hey, if we could walk in that realm, our troubles would be over. And we'd almost solve the troubles of this world. Well, the day comes that we'll all walk there.
Amen.
All of us that meet God in peace and with any trophies at all, you know, we're saved by grace. But if we get any rewards, that's by works. Of course, you have to have grace to do the works. Grace is ever present. And we have to credit grace for all of it. But everywhere the Bible speaks of rewards by works. Rewards by works. We're all soldiers, but everybody doesn't get, he doesn't excel. He's just soldiers. And maybe he excels and doesn't get noticed. Now, that happens a lot of times. But in this army, that doesn't happen. God notices it. Hey, the in the Chronicles of Heaven now, there is a record being kept. Hallelujah. Amen. Not as my brother said, so he could know when to slap us over or something, but hallelujah. But keeping a record of the good deeds that we do.
Yes.
My Lord, and I don't think he records the others too quickly. He's waiting to see what our attitude's going to be. It is our attitude. It was Ezekiel's attitude. He simply would not surrender. If you hold me prisoner, all right, give me something to eat and I'll eat it. But I won't, hallelujah, I'll sing my own songs. I'll believe in my God. I won't succumb to your mold. I will not surrender. And that's what he did. He didn't surrender. The masses did. And Ezekiel is being lifted up in the high realms of God. And he sees, he looked here in the fourth verse. He looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud fire involved. Well, I already read that. You may be familiar with it. Say, you know what he's seeing? He's seeing the formation of the Christ. Hey, you've probably heard, no doubt you've heard that statement before, but let me tell you this, that the first time I ever said it, I had never heard it before. I had never heard it hinted at before. I didn't know anybody that knew that at the time I said that 30 years ago. I said, he's seeing the formation of the Christ. I said it by unction. The Lord spoke to me. And, of course, I preached, you know, I preached in a lot of meetings, conventions all over the country, and things that I said, as well as things that you said, would spread, you know. And it got to be, most people, I suppose, have probably heard that and knows it. But now, it is a formation of the Christ. Now, in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, we'll turn over there, and let me turn over there and read to us just briefly. In the 43rd chapter, and I show you, now he's seen the formation of the Christ. Now God says here in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, let's read from verse 10. He said, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Before me there was no God formed." Hallelujah. There was God existed, but he didn't have a form. Hallelujah. The other gods existed. Gods, little gods, you know, that's things. As our temporal, but there was no form. And he said, before me, there was no God that had a form. I am he, and I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. This is our blessed Lord, isn't it? Now, before me, all right, so he had no form. God had not had a form. He was everywhere, omnipresent, but there was no form. How could I know when I see God? Had no form. And the first inkling that we get in the Bible that he is going to formulate himself is when he creates Adam. Before he created him, he said, we'll make him in our own image and in our own likeness. And then he created Adam, and Adam stood on his feet, and he looked very much like we do, I guess. And so we get the idea that this is the first form that God has exposed. When he made Adam, and Adam wasn't God, but he was made in God's image. So if you looked at Adam, you'd have some idea as to what God is like. But that wasn't the end of the story. That's only the foreshadowing and the beginning. For in time, God would bring forth another Adam, the last Adam. Hallelujah. And he would formulate himself in the last Adam. So well did he do it that the apostles could say, in Jesus dwelt all the Godhead bodily. The only form that he had. Hallelujah. It might surprise you to hear me say that before Jesus appeared in the stable at Bethlehem, he had appeared many times. The Christ, hallelujah, had appeared in many forms. Well, all right, how about the guy, the young man that was standing over beside the ledge on the mountain when Joshua had come to overlook the city of Jericho? His men were, his people were asleep down in their tents. And Joshua, being the great leader that he was, climbed to the crest of Knoll to get a visible picture of Jericho. And he wondered, how do you take a city that is fortified like that? He was not trained in that kind of warfare. He knew nothing about taking a fortified walled city. And so he was up there trying to see if he could plan some kind of strategy. And all it, he couldn't get it together. It looked like an impossible task to him. And then he looked and seen a young man standing over beside the ledge, and he had a sword in his hand. Joshua, being the courageous soldier that he was, approached him head on, said, "Hey, are you for us or for them?" And he said, "Well, I hadn't really chosen sides yet. I'm the captain of the host. I come to order the battle."
Yes, amen.
And then he didn't see that man no more. But he told him how to do it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, "Yeah, I'll give you the strategy to take that city." "What is it?" Said, "Well, just go down and march around it one time a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, march 7 times around it, sound the blow the ram's horn."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I guess Joshua thought about that and thought, "Well, I don't know. Is it to intimidate them?" Hallelujah. Well, no, it was just to test the obedience of Joshua.
Yeah.
God knew what he was going to do, didn't he? And he never seen that man again. The question is, who was that man? Now, he was the Christ. He was the Christ in a pre-Jesus form. Hallelujah. He appeared many times. And it was finally that he had to... Oh, we have to have... We can't stand this anxiety. Moses said, "Lord, if I've been a faithful servant, show me your glory." All of it's what he wanted to see. And God said, "Well, you couldn't stand it if I were to." But there's a cleft in this rock over here by me, and if you'll come and stand in that cleft, I'll show you. And he passed by Joshua, and Joshua seen his hind parts. He just seen where God had been. What he wanted to see is where God's going. Well, hallelujah. But he was not permitted to do that. And so it was with Joshua. He went down and obeyed the Lord, and the city, you know, it was surrendered to him. And it was just his great obedience and his calling. First, you have to be called. Hallelujah. So Ezekiel quickly fills the office of a prophet and maintains it all of his life. And then he fills the office of a priest and maintains that all of his life. When you move into a higher ministry, you don't have to give up the lesser. It's foundation stuff. And you need a good foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that God knoweth them that are his. He was... Ezekiel would not surrender. I'll tell you this little story as I go here. When I was a boy, I don't know how old I was, 12, 13, 14, I got big fast. And I was corn fed. and I caught a wolf. Well, he was a half wolf and about a half wolf or maybe three quarters wolf and about a quarter fox. The wolf. And I caught him in a trap. And couldn't get him out of the trap, so I went and got my cousin, who was a little older than me, to come help me. And we finally sacked him, you know, sacked his head, and got him, and took his paw out of the trap, and I took him home. I was going to tame him. And I put him in the loft in the barn. We had corn up there, and, you know, and it was a big old loft. And I put him in there and put a chain on him and chained him to the wall. And then I had to feed him every day and water him. And my uncle told me, said, "Son," said, you'll never tame him." Said, "He's got three quarters wolf, and that makes him ferocious. And he's got about a quarter fox, and that makes him smart." And I kept that, but I didn't believe my uncle. I figured, you know, if you'd be good enough to him and feed him good, he'll come around. He'll be dependent on me. I had him dependent on me. And I'm going to tame that joker. So I bring him food, and every time I bring him food, he'd try to bite me. But then I had a rake there that I'd stay out of his reach while I put the food down. Then when he tried to bite me and he'd back up on his chain, I'd push the food in there where he could reach it, and he'd eat it. I kept him about a year. And he was just as ferocious the last day as he was the first. The story is, and the moral is, that I had him captured, but he wouldn't surrender. Captured is something that somebody does to you. Somebody takes you captive, that's external. Surrendering is internal. That's a mindset. That's part of your soul, mind, will, and emotion. If he takes over your mind, don't worry about the emotion and will part. He'll take care of that. That's all. When he takes over the mind, he'll take care of that other too. Well, anyway, to make this long story short, I finally give up on this animal. And I took him right out. We had a cotton field out there. It was about 200 acres, just pretty flat, real flat for East Texas. And me and my cousin took him right out to the middle of it. And I took the chain off of him, and he didn't look around to see, or he didn't even look to see which way he was going. He just felt that he had been freed when that chain was released. He set sail out across there, and I hadn't seen him since. He was going back to his nativity. He was going where his heart had been there all the time. And in all these days of captivity, he had been dependent on me, but he never considered me his friend. I was his enemy. And he never forgot that. And the moment he got a chance, he headed home. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's the way Ezekiel was. He's there, and if they feed him, he'll eat all right. But they're not his friends, and he knows it, because they're stealing his mind, his emotion, and his will. And they're setting him up to be a puppet. Hallelujah. They're setting him up to lose all the integrity that he come with. And he simply will not surrender to this. Hold me prisoner forever. But I will not surrender. That was his attitude. And the attitude's what counts so much with God, isn't it? Is our attitude. Hallelujah. You can have a right attitude and be wrong sometimes, and it'll slide pretty good. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can be right and have the wrong attitude, and it won't float good, will it? Yeah. You need to be right, and then you need to have a right attitude. To know whom I have believed. That's it. To know whom I have believed. Who called me into this warfare? Hallelujah. God did. Well, now, if God did, am I supposed to try to please men, or hallelujah? Or should I please God? I should like for God to so arrange it that I could please both. And I suppose for the most part he has allowed me that privilege. I've found favor everywhere I've gone. It was prophesied over me when I started to go up and down the land. This is what the prophet, an old prophet, prophesied over me and said, "My son, you will go up and down the land and in all fervency, tireless." And he said, "Wherever you go, you will quote the scriptures by the chapters. And wherever you do that, it'll break the yoke and destroy the fetter. And I'll give you favor with people. And I'll let you eat of the good of the land. And you'll be most prosperous," he said. And you'll be obedient to me. As long as your obedience is observed, you may continue in ministry." Those are the words he said. Well, I went up and down the land, and I quoted the scriptures by the chapters, as you well know. And at one time, I could probably quote about all the book that wasn't repetitious. You know, a lot of it repetitious. So, you could never get separated in your mind's eye. However, I never credit it to my IQ. I credit it to an anointing, for I did it with the same anointing that I prophesy with. The anointing's same. I switch from one without to the other like a hydromatic transmission. You can't feel the switch. Hallelujah. Amen. I know it's the same spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. And he's seen the formation of the Christ. And God said, "Before me there was no God form." So we said he appeared many different ways, but finally he appears in his Son. There has to be a common denominator for all of us. How do we know the Christ? How do we know God? And so God invested all the Godhead bodily in a baby and birthed that baby in Bethlehem. His name was Jesus, and he is the common denominator for all Christians today. We see Jesus Hallelujah. Who is the author and finisher of our faith. We don't question what the Father is like. We know that He's like Jesus. Man. And Jesus is like the Father. And if we've seen one, we've seen them all. I come up in the old school where we argued over the Godhead. Is there three or is there one? Well, I favored the Trinity side. Hallelujah. But I had no war with the others. And then of course, if you get in an argument over one principle, it brings up another principle. How do we baptize them then? And this was a touchy one here. I mean, you dare not make you... First, if somebody asks me, how do you baptize them? First, I want to know, how would you baptize them? well, not really, but... We use the Trinity baptism, but I later developed one that I thought was scriptural and would please everybody. God let you do that sometimes. You know, the Bible says, the question was, should we baptize in Jesus' name or in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Some said in Jesus only. Others said, no, Jesus said to do it in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, I developed a formula that suited me all right, and I didn't feel like I was compromising or anything, so I just said, well, everything you do in Jesus' name, don't you? So in Jesus' name, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Wham! Well, that's better than falling out over it, isn't it? And brothers hating brothers. Hallelujah. Amen. And we got them baptized, and you know, I've been baptized several times. I don't know if it's all necessary, but I'm figuring any of them hurt me. Yeah. And it was up in Pennsylvania, and they dunked. So they asked me, have you ever been dunked? And I said, no. They said, well, we dunk them. I said, well, dunk me. Can't take nothing from me. Hallelujah. I'm already alive in Him. I've been given eternal life by virtue of following Him. Oh, well, I know that. All right, let me get in here then and show you these faces where the face of a lion, of an ox, of a man, and of an eagle. That is before evangelists, gospel evangelists, before gospels. And it goes like this, that the lion is the king of the beast, isn't he? Known as king of the beast. Now, when Matthew began to write his gospel in the very first verse, he runs the genealogy back to David, who was the king tribe, the kingly tribe from Judah. And then he runs David's genealogy back to Abraham to get him under the covenant. And so he portrays the kingship of the blessed Lord. And then Mark was an ox. The ox was the only one that was, he was a servant. An ox is a servant. He pulls the plow. And you didn't run the genealogy on a servant, so Mark doesn't give a genealogy. He just begins with the servant. There was an old Israeli coin, one of the first coins they minted, that had the picture of an ox in the center of it. And on one side it had an altar, the sacrifice altar. And on the other side it had a plow. And the ox is standing between them, not looking toward either one, just looking straight ahead, thus signifying that he can be a servant or he can be a sacrifice. He is the only sacrificial animal that could also be a servant. And so Mark portrays Jesus in his servant ministry. And oh, what a ministry it was it not? Amen. And then comes Luke. And Luke looks on the man side and calls him the Son of Man. And he runs his genealogy all the way back to Adam, down through Abraham and David, but back to Adam. Got to get him back to Adam. And he was Son of Man and Son of God. Now, the beauty part, one of the beautiful things about Ezekiel is that he is often called Son of Man. And then Paul often calls Timothy thou man of God. These terms are almost the same thing. All right, so he portrays him as man. I'm glad that he had all of these aspects because, see, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but he was in all points tested even as we are, and yet without sin. Notice the difference in the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam, God gave him a perfect environment, didn't he? It was a paradise if there ever was a paradise. Beautiful garden, and all he had to do was tend the garden, just stay there, really, and just it had one restriction, just one restriction, that's all. And he walked in complete innocence before God, and with one restriction, he failed miserably. So God brought forth the last Adam. He placed him in a different kind of an environment where everything was hostile to him. The prophet had already prophesied he'll grow up out of his place. Oh, he was a prince. Hallelujah. He was a king. His place was at the throne. And yet, he grew up in a hostile environment. Everything was against him. Everything was against him. He had no place to lay his head. He owned nothing. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, that though he were rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. He had nothing. Everything was against him. If anybody ever had a right to fail, it would have been him. But in all of this difficulty, he never failed. He never sinned. He went all the way to Calvary as pure as pure. Hallelujah. He had to arrive at Calvary in purity. Hallelujah. For God had demanded a sacrifice offered to him must be spotless, without blemish, pure. And if Jesus gets there tainted, he's not the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. A Calvary for our redemption. Peter would say, hey, you were not bought with corruptible things like silver and gold. Well, we don't count that to be too corruptible. I mean, you know, that's some of them little gods. But he said, you were purchased with the blood. No, the precious blood of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you are not your own, but you have been purchased. You belong to another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God forever. Jesus had to die on Calvary. He had to come and be the spotless lamb. Say, that day that he went to Calvary, there was 8,000 lambs slain in Jerusalem for sacrifices. But only one counted. That was our blessed Lord. He got there spotless, without blemish. Oh, he wavered in the garden there when everything closed in on him. His disciples were forsaking him. Everything, and for a moment, thou Son of Man, he cried out, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I think in modern day language, he'd have said, Father, I'm sorry, pay no attention to my squeamishness. I'm going to go the whole course. Hallelujah. Say, If there would have been some way to kill him without bleeding him, it wouldn't count. He has to spill his blood here. Hallelujah. So on Calvary's cross, he received 5 bleeding wounds. 5, mind you. 1 in each hand for 2, 1 in each foot for 2 more, and then the spear in his side for the 5th one. He purchased everything with those 5 bleeding wounds. The stripes were already on his back. That was for our healing. Now these bleeding wounds would ransom ministry. He bled from 5 wounds. And when he ascended back on high, he gave back a ministry for the blood that he had shed from each wound. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And every one of them, thus signifying that every one of them was blood-bought. It cost the Lord a lot. Oh, praise God forever. Hallelujah. And now we're in the day of those ministries, and they're in operation throughout the country. Say, where iniquity did abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. Doth much more abound. It does. Hallelujah. Well, then we come to the last one, John. And John portrays him as the eagle that just rises. He portrays him in the heaven. In the beginning was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it is of a man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't know him. He came unto his own received him not, but to as many as did gave he them power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Who were born not of corruptible means, but by the Spirit of the Almighty. Hallelujah. I tell you, this is the place of safety. We have fled to the city of refuge. Hallelujah. You know the law of the city of refuge? Once you get there and present yourself before the elders, you're safe as long as the priest lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have fled to the city of refuge, and we're safe as long as the priest lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's very much alive, isn't he? Hallelujah. Say, this ain't no shaky thing that we're latched on to here. And we're not no intimidated, poor, pitiful thing. Hallelujah. If we have that mentality, we're never going to come to sonship. Hallelujah. We've got to have the mentality of victors, conquerors, and thus we will make it, because God's leading us on. He's leading us on, isn't he? Well, Jesus portrayed him as the eagle. And an eagle, he just, when the storm gets pretty rambunctious, he just spreads his wings. I don't see Brother Art in here now. He does an eagle, the eagle message. It's the best I ever heard, that one that Brother Art Johnson does on the eagles. I mean, you can tell he done made a study of eagles or lived in the mountains with them one. Well, he just spreads his wings, sits on the cliff of the rock, and he just spreads his wings. And when it gets rambunctious enough under him, it'll push him up above it, like the mule. Praise the Lord. God has a way of raising us up above everything, doesn't he? Have you ever noticed how you can get some devastating news and you wonder, boy, how can I get through this? And you know, you just go, be fretful, go ahead, go to bed and go to sleep and wake up in the morning, it won't look near as bad. Nothing happened. Our attitude happened. Nothing can't happen that God doesn't let happen. If God doesn't allow it, it can't happen. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We wonder about a lot of things, don't we? In the, I'm going to have to give you some outline here. Anyhow, in the fourth verse, he's in this whirlwind, sees the formation of the Christ. And then in the third chapter, he's in the third chapter of Ezekiel here, he's made a watchman. Son of man, verse 17, I have made thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning. That's the duty of the watchman. He come here, he says, well, let's read the 15th verse. Then I came to them of the captivity of Telabib that dwelt by the river Kibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. All right, now this is significant because you want to underline this because we have some types and shadows here. The first thing that he does to enter into the watchman ministry is he identifies with those that he's going to be watchman over. He come and sat where they sat. And then he remained there. He was astonished. That word means, well, I don't really know. It means that he was astonished. He was surprised at their attitude or something in that order. And he said among them, though, this is the significance, that he said among them 7 days, thus signifying that the watchman ministry will last throughout the kingdom age as well as the grace age. The kingdom day is the seventh day. And Ezekiel he's sitting here 7 days identifying with this people, surprised at their lack of faith and all of this, but he's been placed a watchman, and it lasts for 7 days. That's 7 dispensations. the Watchman Ministry. If you can be elevated into the Watchman Ministry, you will have ministry throughout the kingdom age. I can't wait to get in that dispensation to watch how God eradicates all this wickedness that's in the world now. We'll take it out of the hands of the politicians, hallelujah, and God will rule. Hallelujah. Amen. We won't argue abortion anymore. We'll just eradicate it. Hallelujah. Amen. We won't argue life. We'll just live. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, I've already got... If I can walk into the dispensation of the kingdom of God, I've already got Methuselah beat by 100 years. Amen. Hallelujah. If I walk into the kingdom age at, say, 60... How old was Methuselah? 969? Well, time I walk into it, I still got a little ways to go to that beating 1,000 years. But if I could get to be 69 before the kingdom age, the dispensation is ushered in, I'm guaranteed 1,069 years. And all I know that I'll have to do is minister. If I have to do anything else, well, I'll receive that gladly, but we will be ministering and cleaning up this, would you excuse my expression, this mess that the devil has put upon us and hallelujah, and intimidated. Oh, he has intimidated some lofty Christians. Hallelujah. He's brought some down and made them a byword. David said he become a byword, didn't he? All right. So that I wanted to call our attention to that. And then he tells him, Mecca, get a towel and lay on your right side and make a sand model of Jerusalem. And then lay on your right side for 7 days, or ever how many days it was, forget now. And he said, this, now you will be a sign. All right, you're going to be a sign. All right, now let's see the progression here. He starts off as a prophet. He's a priest. He is a watchman. Now he's a sign. He has one more ministry. Hallelujah. There's five of them. In the 10th chapter of the book of Ezekiel and the 14th verse, we come back to those faces, the four faces, and let's read it in the 14th verse. And everyone had four faces. The first face was like the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. Do you see anything wrong? One of the faces has changed. And which one is it? It's the ox. The servant has become a cherub. Through faithful ministry, he has moved from the servant realm to a cherub. Now, a cherub is always protracted as being in the presence of God and as being a keeper of God's ways. Yeah, well, let me give us a scripture here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. They first come into our attention here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Verse 24. So he drove out the man, Adam, out of the garden and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. This is the plural word for cherubim, the face. And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Here they're right. Keeping the tree of life. So he becomes a cherub, and the ministry of a cherub is a keeper. Yes. A keeper of God's righteousness, of God's holiness, of God's possession. He has moved from a prophet, come through the priesthood. He has the ministry of a prophet, the ministry of a priest, ministry of a watchman, and the ministry of a sign, and now the ministry of a keeper. Now, not only does he have the ministry of a watchman, it's not just any watchman. Hey, all can be watchmen, but Ezekiel was a wall watchman. Hallelujah. And that, the watchman that sits on the wall has a responsibility for the security and safety of the whole city. Other watchmen may watch the trash barrel or the water tank, or you could watch anything, be in charge of this and that, but the watchman that sits on the wall, he's the one with the responsibility to sound the alarm. He must not be subject to intimidation. He must be determined, truthful, and dependable. Hallelujah. The requirements is that he, from that wall, he tells the truth. He tells it like he sees it. And if he does that, if the enemy comes and he sounds the alarm and the enemy overcomes the city, the blood will not be required at his hand. But should he have been asleep on the wall and the enemy slip in and do a massacre, the blood would be required at his hand. He has to be most careful in this ministry, the cherub. So he comes through all of these ministries, and now that he has the cherub ministry, a keeper of the holiness of God. Oh, thy testimonies are very sure, O Lord, and holiness becometh thine house forever. He doesn't lose anything that he had in the other ministries. He's still a prophet, he's still a priest, he's still a watchman, he's still a sign, and now he has this cherub ministry. He can minister in the presence of God. They most generally are projected in the presence of God, around the throne. Hallelujah. So he rises from captivity to the throne. Hallelujah. And that's a path that we'll all take. If we ever get to the throne, we will have come from captivity to the throne rights. Oh, blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. Reluctant to... What we like is total commitment. We now have a token commitment. Most of us have a token commitment. I know very few people that are totally committed. Glenn and Irma is the most committed folks I know. In my opinion, their whole life is here, given to this operation, to this, oh, what an operation it is, and what a load it is on them. They think it, eat it, sleep it. And you can't separate them from it, and they can't. You can't tell where the responsibility stops and Glenn starts. Nirma. They are to be commended for such a commitment. Hallelujah. Most of our commitment is like token. You heard the story of the pig and the chicken strolling down the road together and seen a sign that says ham and eggs for breakfast. And that chicken said, hey, let's go have some breakfast. He said, not me. For you, it's token commitment. But for me, it's total. you know, it's just a little funny saying, but it's true, isn't it? When you have just a token commitment, you know, most people, they just token commit. You pass the offering plate on Sunday morning and they put in a token of their tithe. Yeah. But a full commitment would be to put in tithe and then give something above that for an offering, wouldn't it? And that's just commitment in that one area. But then you take every area of our lives and get that total commitment. Oh, sometimes I think I have been committed, but when I begin to examine it, I see that it has just been a token commitment. I've spent a lot in the ministry, and you know, I've traveled and wore myself down, and almost run myself into the ground here a few years back, meeting myself coming back, and I counted that as commitment. I didn't ask the Lord to do that, but He just put it on me, and I did it. And but then when I think of the whole thing overall, I see that I like a lot having the commitment that Ezekiel had. Hallelujah. But I'm in pursuit of it. And I signed on for the course. Yeah. I'm not going to quit. Paul said, I finished my course. I tell you, he made that commitment in 1 minute, didn't he, on the road to Damascus. He said, I'll sign on for the course. Hallelujah. And he run his course and finished it with honor, didn't he? Hey, we will too. We will too. Hey, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. It's not a question in my mind anymore. I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. And I couldn't have made the first step of it without him, but hallelujah. But he enabled me to make that one. He's enabled me to come here. He'll enable me. And hallelujah. He's still dispensing his life into me and into you. and we're children of the Most High. Hallelujah. Amen. We might as well get ready to do some warfare. Hallelujah. Daniel seen the Antichrist rise and come to preeminence and made war against the saints, didn't he? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break His bands from us. Let us cast His cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall lie. He shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak to them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron. Dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye, kings, and be wise, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you, and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Hallelujah. Amen. I laid me down to sleep, and I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Rise up, my Lord, and smite them in the jaw. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, hallelujah. God will do warfare for us, won't He? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Blessed be God today. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wonder and wonderful, merciful God. Lord, I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people this morning and upon this camp, Lord, and the remaining part of this convention, Lord, I invoke choice blessings. Give them the choicest of all words, O Lord, the choicest of all ministry, O Lord, my Lord, and those that are afflicted, the choicest of all healings, O Lord, my God, O Thou whom my soul doth love. I entreat you in their behalf this day. Thank you, great God. Thank you again for this marvelous, wonderful people and for this great place to come and worship the Lord. Be healed, delivered, and set straight on our way to the kingdom in Jesus' blessed name. Thank you, great God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.